Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. Louise Bedford has been a leading authority on the share market for nearly 15 years. She has seen many people in the industry come and go. She joins us today to relay some heartbreaking stories of share market shonks. Those people who have taken the trust of innocent investors and used them for their own advantage. We also hear from Greg Rowney, a mentoree from 2007, who joins Chris Tate and Louise Bedford for a cafe conversation to discuss the power of persistence. We also have trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 19th of September with market commentator Ashley Jessen. Ashley Jessen, good morning.
Good morning, Caroline. How are you?
We are very well. Tell us, how did the US market close on Friday?
Well, on Friday, we had such a big end to the week. The Dow Jones was up 13 points. We had the NASDAQ was down 13 points, and the S&P was largely flat. But during the week, we had the FOMC two-day meeting. We had the Alibaba float at the end of the week and the Scottish referendum. So there was no shortage of excitement towards the end of the week there.
Yeah, a lot happened. So how did that flow onto the Aussie market?
So the Aussie market didn't fare quite as well, actually. It had quite a sell-off during the week. And unfortunately, we had commodities that were hit quite heavily throughout the week. So our Aussie market really got sold off. It did bounce off the lows towards the end of the week, though. It rallied about 60 points off the lows, down at 5370. So a reasonable recovery to the end of the week, but nowhere near as good as the international markets.
Let's talk very briefly about Alibaba and the Scottish referendum. How did that affect the market?
Well, there was a lot of hype and euphoria around the Alibaba float, of course. They raised some $25 billion for the float, but on day one, it went from $63 up to, $68, sorry, was the float price, up to $93, touching on near $100. So there was a lot of excitement there, but of course, being not an American company, it's not listed on the Dow Jones, it's not in the S&P 500, and it's not listed on the NASDAQ. So it didn't really have a push-on effect to those international markets. However, looking at the market cap, it's now valued at $228 billion, and there's only three tech companies that are bigger. We've got Microsoft, Google, and Apple are the only ones that are bigger. So it's such an amazing, first day. Really quite incredible.
All right, and what about the Scots?
Well, there was so much talk around that, of course, and that was really the big unknown, because there was pushing towards a little bit of a yes vote at one stage there. 55% came back no and 45% said yes, so it was a non-event at the end of the day. However, on the markets, the pound was hit quite heavily, and then when it was swinging towards the no vote, the pound rallied back off those lows quite considerably. So plenty of action in the forex markets around that Scottish referendum.
Let's jump back to the Australian markets now. Last week, what were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
Yeah, the financials got hit quite hard. NAB does have a little bit of exposure over in Europe there, so there was a little bit of uncertainty around that. So the Scottish referendum played to the negative on NAB, but when that no vote came out, it did actually push it back up. But on the greater scheme of things, financials and materials lost a lot of ground. And we had healthcare and the telco sector were reasonably resilient and stayed pretty steady during that sell-off.
What patterns were jumping out of the charts this week?
Well, I think on a bigger picture, we've got some diverging signals that we're noticing. In particular, we've got international indices hitting all-time record highs, yet our Aussie market still fails to even hit six-year highs. It's really struggling. So it's such a big sell-off on the Aussie 200 index from the commodities that the pattern that's emerging there, if we start to see commodity prices rebound, we could push back up on the Aussie 200 index to the top of that range and maybe approach again those six-year highs. So that'll be one that we're certainly keeping an eye on.
Are there any opportunities you're looking at this week, Ashley?
Yeah, definitely. This week and over the next couple of weeks, actually. On the currency play, we've got the US dollar strength has really been rallying to the upside, and it's such a big play. So for those that are trading the Aussie stocks or Aussie share CFDs, what you might want to consider are those stocks that have a large basis of their earnings in US dollars. And some of the stocks that I've got written down that might be worth considering on that note: ResMed, CSL, Cochlear, Ramsay Health Care, Amcor and Brambles are certainly playing to the strength of that US dollar.
Any advice for traders this week?
Yeah, I could certainly point some people to look in a certain direction. I've got a handful of stocks to consider. Some of them have been sold off, some really strong companies that came through reporting season quite well, and they've been sold off over the last week. So Transurban Group, Telecom New Zealand, Sigma Pharmaceuticals is really looking quite good. Domino's Pizza has been interesting. It's really been rallying over the last year. And APA Group have been quite interesting. And probably the only other one that I would be looking at, commodities have really been sold off. We've got gold and silver were really hit hard at the end of last week. We've got copper down at under $3.10 per pound, and Brent crude has been sold off as well. If we see a bounce there, it's probably going to be a little bit of a bounce, like a snapback could be possible as those people short start covering their short positions, but it's not likely to result in any massive swing to the upside, unfortunately. So there could be an opportunity there with commodities just rebounding off such a heavy oversold level.
Ashley Jessen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Caroline. Have a great day.
Do you want a piece of the FX action? We thought you would. That's why we've asked Tradeology to give you instant access to their brand new FX indicator. Just go to talkingtrading.com.au, click on their advertisement and try it out for yourself. As sponsors of Talking Trading, Tradeology want you to have the very best tools at your fingertips. That's talkingtrading.com.au. Louise Bedford has been a leading authority on the share market since 2000, and she has seen many traders come and go. She joins us now to discuss some heartbreaking stories on share market shonks, those people who have claimed to be trading educators but have simply stolen other people's dreams. She gives some clear advice on how to watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing.
I forget. You know, I think it's because I've been surrounded by members of my mentor program and people who value a share market course that lasts for life. I forget that other share market trainers don't do this. I'm appalled at those weekend courses that promise riches, and I feel so much for those people that attend. They've got lights in their eyes and they think that this will be the solution for all of their problems if only they can just trade options for 24 hours a day for the rest of their lives. I forget that there are people out there that are crushed by the results they've derived when they've followed some ridiculous strategies that some share market shonk has suggested. And because there are so many of them out there too, do you know, they're not even bound by the rules of ASIC. Chris Tate and I have to work to maintain our financial services license. And when you get somebody flying in from overseas, they can fly in and fly out, do a weekend seminar and pocket $500,000. They're not even bound by the laws that protect you as an Australian and New Zealand trader. Look, let me tell you a story. At the end of one of my expo presentations, I had a guy come up to me and he said, "Does this mean that that particular person's strategies, they can't work?" And I reflexively said, "Yes, that's right. Those strategies can never work and it's impossible to make money trading that way." Instantly, I saw tears flick into the bottom of his eyes. He looked absolutely stricken. I think he only held it together because there were lots of people around us as we were having that conversation. Since we saw the world plunged into the global financial crisis, we've seen traders get skittish, brokerage companies go broke and steal their clients' money, and a great deal of sadness about the share market. There have been a lot of share market educators that have emerged and they have little or no trading experience. And some of their experience was gathered overseas and our rules don't translate into the overseas markets at all times. They razzle-dazzle the seminar scene. They teach their course participants ridiculous methods that don't work. And some even incorrectly quote me. Many steal my intellectual property and pass it off as their own, only vaguely understanding the principles behind what I'm conveying, and they lead people astray with their lack of depth. I can tell you for sure that the majority of people in this profession that are my running mates, that are the people that I rub shoulders with, they've got a well-worn dog-eared copy of many of my books on their bookshelf. And that's just fine. I actually don't have an issue with having trained most of my so-called competitors. The thing that I do object to is when they take my work and they translate it incorrectly and they bring their clients to the brink of financial oblivion. That to me is simply not on. All of this environment has created a situation where we distrust. It's become more and more important to check out the longevity of your share market trainers, what their success is, how many people they've trained, what those people say about them. Are they making money? But also, are they developing as a person when they've done their course? Does your share market trainer have hundreds of testimonials from happy traders on their website? Do they stick with their traders for life? Because that is a real key. This is not something that can be taught in a weekend function. Look, I know a lot of people want to believe in magic. They want to hear lies about how easy trading is and believe it. The only thing is, it's not true. That risk-free trade that you've been sold by some sort of seminar shonk, that is criminal. Being told that you'll make a guaranteed income or that you can rent your shares or that there's some sort of magic moo cow out there that can bring you in riches. When they get you to believe in that, they're using your own hopes and dreams against you. I was with one of these shonks once and I asked him how could he possibly do that to the people who attended his seminar. Do you know what he told me? He told me that people wanted to believe. He said that he was just providing a way for them to believe and for him to make money from that belief. He justified it. He said, I'm motivating them. I'm giving them what they want. But even if what he was giving them couldn't possibly work, far out, that shonk, he'd made a decision that by lying to somebody, he was helping that person. I don't understand that. For heaven's sakes, the strategies that this bloke taught did not work and they could never work. They defied the built-in laws that drive trend. And it's only by following the trend that you'll ever have a hope of making money in trading. And what's more, it's not just trend. It's the psychology and the money management that you put behind every trade that makes it work. The guy at the expo, my heart went out to him. He wanted to provide for his family. He wanted to escape the rat race. He wanted to have a better set of holidays. But instead, he ended up buying a stupidly expensive course. And he was sold a trading strategy that could never, ever work. He got zero support. He was certainly having no ongoing care from that shonk. And it wasn't that trader's fault. He trusted, he believed, he put his heart out there. He extended himself. But because of the shonk who took his seminar money, he lost out big time. Those shonks take those dreams and they distort them. There's nothing in the world that means more to me than my family and those that I choose to have as my family members, because I believe you get to choose your family. But what that shonk was doing, that took away that guy's trust. It took away his desire and his ability to provide for his family, and that is criminal. Steal his car, but do not steal his dreams and his trust. I'm often the only one there that is available to pick up people's pieces and their trust. They've been devastated by the markets because of some stupid strategy that they were told to follow. And for that guy at the expo, if you're listening, I want you to know that I'm very sorry that your dreams were used against you. I'm sorry that that seminar person, he took a part of your soul for gold and that you've had to endure this terrible loss of trust. The loss of trust is an even greater tragedy than the loss of money. Money can be regained. Trust, though, sometimes, unless you extend yourself again and you have a good result, you may never regain your trust. I want you to know that your reasons for going to that seminar were good and pure and right. Don't let that shonk drag your trust into a dark place, where you can no longer recognize the hand of care and support that is being offered to you by someone who is trustworthy.
And last week's trading trivia question was, who said an investment in knowledge always pays the best interest? Was it A, Benjamin Franklin, B, Bernard Baruch, C, JP Morgan, or D, Warren Buffett? And the answer is A, Benjamin Franklin. And this week's trading trivia question is, who was it who said success is doing what you want, when you want, where you want, with whom you want, and as much as you want? Find out the answer next week. Greg Rowney was a member of the Trading Game Mentor Program in 2007. He caught up with Louise Bedford and Chris Tate for a cafe conversation to discuss the power of persistence and the importance of trading buddies.
Louise Bedford here. I'm in cafe conversations with Chris Tate and Greg Rowney. Now, Greg, you did the mentor program back about 7 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was. What's that?
2007.
7 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Time ticks on. Has it changed much since you started?
Absolutely. It's a completely different program from when I started. There was probably only about 10 or 11 of us on that program, and the technology that you guys have brought to the program is phenomenal. The resources that you provide people now really helps them. And
it does change every year. What we do is we take the feedback from the previous group and then jam that right into the new course. So it's lovely to see. Now, over dinner, we were talking about the power of persistence. Now, Chris, you came out with some interesting concepts related to the power of persistence.
Yeah, generally how much bread you can eat over dinner.
That helps.
Yeah, normally we do these first thing in the morning, but we're out late at night. One of the things we touched on is the perennial problem that occurs with traders, and that is that they simply don't persist long enough to be successful. Persistence is the cornerstone of anything. It's somewhat akin to you hear about people who become famous and they say, yes, it took me 20 years to become an overnight success. And the issue is, because we're so short term now, we can't conceive of a future beyond about 3 or 4 months. And so if we haven't bought the yacht or we haven't bought the Porsche by then, we tend to give up. This is why weight loss programs fail. They fail not because people don't understand the laws of thermodynamics. They fail simply because people don't get the magic result they want within X number of weeks. If you don't get the magic results, you throw all your toys out the pram and you move on to the next magic thing. Traders are the same. If they don't get the magic result they want within a few weeks, they...
And that is Greg's
phone.
There we go. We'll chat amongst ourselves while he answers the call.
I've got Pharrell Williams Happy going through my head, which is unfortunate because it'll be there forever now. And that's the issue. Just people don't persist in any way, shape or form. We give up too easily. We're prone to short-term thinking. What defeats them is the notion that trading is actually hard work. It's not... You don't win the lottery, you grind away for years.
And have you found it to be a grind, Greg?
It hasn't always been a grind, but I think more recently it's got to that point where pretty much I'm just going through the process each week. I think when I first started, there was definitely an element of entertainment in there for me, probably to the detriment of my trading, but now it's certainly not the activity for the week that I look forward to. It's just something that I go through the motions, get the job done and get on with the rest of my plans for the weekend.
And isn't it funny that as traders, we refer to the word grind as being a positive attribute, whereas the rest of the world seems to think it's a negative attribute.
It's very true, yeah.
One of the things I love about you, Greg, is that you have the record for taking on the most junior trading buddies in the mentor program. Throughout the mentor program, as you know, for every new person that comes onto the mentor program, they get assigned a more senior buddy to guide them through the program. Now, tell us about your experiences as a senior buddy.
Well, that was just fantastic. I mean, they say giving is a great way of receiving, and I got so much out of mentoring those people. And at the time, there wasn't very many of us in Perth, and I put my hand up to be a mentor and got lots of responses and got to meet lots of great people and hopefully made a contribution to them going on with their trading and getting much out of the mentor program as they were able to.
Oh, that's great. And tell us about your thoughts about Talking Trading. You know that this is an initiative that we've been doing for nearly a year now to be able to bring not only good quality information to members of our mentor program, but also to people who are starting out with trading. I'd love to hear your views about the show.
Talking Trading is fantastic. It's just going from strength to strength each week. The calibre of the people that you've got, it's just getting higher, and it's interesting hearing the range of people that you talk to, from current mentorees through to very experienced traders, and they've all got a story to tell. You can take something away from each one. I listen to it on my morning walk into work, and if it's ever late, I'm disappointed that I have to wait another day to hear it.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a last-minute rush. Of course, providing that much content each week does take its toll. So, Chris, have you got any more thoughts for our traders before we say good night?
I think I should be on Talking Trading more often. sounds very interesting.
Christopher! It's lovely having you as a listener of Talking Trading, and thank you so much for your time, Greg.
My pleasure.
That's all we have for you today. Next week, we have a very special interview with the trading legend Daryl Guppy on exchange-traded funds. Stay tuned for Daryl's energy and intellect. And on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. I'm Caroline Stephen. See you next time.
Talking Trading is sponsored by tradinggame.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a six-month, repeat-for-free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. In the Mentor Program, you'll learn every trading instrument over every time frame, but trade your own customised trading plan. The results of the traders who have completed the Mentor Program are astounding. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.